hurt in any of that time.
Well, the typical Pittsburghers don't usually
they don't
fly.
Go anywhere.
don't fly too far from the nest, and if they do, they come right back.
That's true, just like a boomerang.
Right.
So anyhow, let's before. Well, let me play the usual time waster here because it's an obligation now. I think so. Let me just do this.
Kino tata, kino tata, kino tata.
It's appropriate, isn't it?
Kino
very.
Tata, kino tata, kino tata,
and if it hadn't been for Dick Scringer finding that for Bogut, it may not have become a thing for that Canadian to be in Pittsburgh radio there.
That's correct.
Yes. So we were talking about Pittsburgh boomeranging people and so on. And here we are after probably 30 years of not hanging out that much or
whatever. We were trying to discuss kind of the last time in person we had conversed.
Yes.
And it was probably last millennia.
At least.
We had conversed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm happy, excited to be here. It really is, we were talking about the passion of radio and how it's weird that we kind of went our separate ways after elementary school, but still got twisted back into the Pittsburgh media front.
Right.
Both of us working at various networks and stations over the course of our careers.
All those W's, yes.
Lots of W's.
Yes.
And a couple F's. But
yes.
That aside,
yeah.
It's kind of remarkable that the interests have crossed over so much, but just not at the same time. We've
That's right.
We're talking about the same people we know that are still in the media and have left media. It's just names I hadn't heard for years and bringing up stories. And it's been a really great time catching up with you, Eric.
Likewise. And it's the memories have been flooding my mind here since we started doing this show a couple hours ago. And it's just like, my goodness, to think that this kindergarten matchup, and then you actually lived in the next neighborhood over from the PBR-TV World Headquarters.
I did.
And you would sneak through the schoolyard,
school, yeah.
And come knocking on my door, and I couldn't have figured out my way there if I had tried to do the same thing for you, unless somebody drove me around to the neighborhood and showed me, which rarely ever happened. But
the adventure of the Gen X kid, get on your bike and go away for 10 hours, as your parents would tell you, come back when it's dark.
That's right. That's right.
And there were
many nights that you had dinner at my house.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was always great fun. So I think we ought to rekindle that, although the cook may be different.
That's completely understandable, and if it's too terrible, we could just order out.
I think that's a good idea. Well, at this point now, we have reached the end of another program of SRE. Joe, please join us again on the program.
I would love to.
Okay. Portions of this program have been edited for taste, fairness, and to cover up a multitude of sins. Smooth, Relaxing, and Easy is heard weekly on Tube City Online Radio, Shaky Radio, Vulcan Sound Radio, and WRCT Pittsburgh. For now, I'm Eric O'Brien. He's regular Joe. See you in church or some other low joint, and right back here on SRE. This is program number Y7-11.
7-11!
That's what I said.
Confusing radio for confusing times. Chop, 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 chop.
で、じゃあいいって、俺が下ろして、俺がバーンってとりあえず中盤からパッて落として、で、俺7万使っちゃった。で、あいつに5万貸した。
お前の言ってたのってそういうかましい。
Thank you. breaking order.
Nothing makes sense. Chop Chop makes sense.
This is Brad Keselowski, driver number 2, Discount Tire Ford Mustang. Racing fans know that a quick pit stop to check the tires can give me the winning edge. The same is true for your car. Proper tire tread helps keep traction on the road and everyday driving. To check your tread, simply insert a penny, Lincoln's head first, into your tire grooves. If you can see all of Honest Abe's head, it's time to get your tires checked by a professional.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Yeah.
Escondido, Scab Gear, Alphabet Jam. On that, so pretty G. Get that, okay? Let's start, okay? Mr. Now I Shuffle, this and that. And yes, is do ring bells, but why? You ask because just I don't now know. Guess it's that my trick, yet you can. Bye, but oh, yes, you can now. I stay the same but change. This is fun giving life to what already lives. No now head change words. Sing along. Search for your freedom. Say where you're coming from, man. Tell me where you got your tan. These are my friends. Tell me where you coming from, man. Say, you say. Say. Say it, says right here. A stupor comes off my finger. Princess Wall guards, watch me, thanks. Mayday and the doctor who pushes on my stomach. Turn it for us, you say.
Thank you.
This is Kai Chai.
Thank you. これはテレビゲームが大好きな子の話よ。これはテレビゲームが大好きな子の話よ。
The sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Now it is time for human music by humans. Chop, 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 chop.
La, 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 la.
Thank you. What if? Your mother is being raped in the backyard, your father hanging from his guts in the front yard, while you are locked inside your home with an American flag draped upon the walls of a television blaring 24 hours a day. You are free.
F1, F2, F off, F F F off, F off, 2 F off, F 2 F off, back to Russia, to Russia, back to Russia. F off, 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 back to Russia.
Into Pandemonium, a public affairs program from WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, pa@wrct.org. And now, Pandemonium. An apocalypse is an event on a grand scale, a catastrophe that affects our lives indelibly. It is also a story that, judging from the sheer volume of them that we tell, alone and together, has a definite ending, the details of which we are rather concerned with. What is it about the current day that so often casts our focus onto apocalypse and the events that follow it? Is there a background noise of sublime terror, a raging storm, or news of permanent collapse pervading our lives, driving political conflict, justifying ever greater engineering of social order? And is this disaster specific to us, or has it always been present throughout the ages? In first seeking the center of the apocalypse, I sat down with Ben Knight, a Berlin-based filmmaker, and asked him about the movie he just made.
Okay, so it is called We're All Going to Die, and it is about people who are preparing in one way or another for catastrophe. And it kind of moves through different types of preparation. So it begins with your standard prepper type person who would be like hoarding food and maybe learning new skills and figuring out how to, you know, use radios again and rather than cell phones, and you know, all the, yeah, just preppers, and then sort of talking about how they their kind of disappointment with the way everyone else is just carrying on their day, and they have to think about all these terrible things that are going to happen. So that's the kind of the beginning of it. Anyway, so I met a couple of preppers, and then it kind of moves into a more climate change, climate grief is a big thing now amongst a lot of people, and it has been for quite a while. And I met a couple of people in the States who went through a profound grief 20 years ago because they felt like this economic and social system was totally unsustainable. And so there was this, he's called Guy McPherson. He went and 20 years ago, he felt like, you know, this isn't going to work. No. And he went and lived on a homestead in New Mexico. He was a tenured professor, and he gave up his job and went and lived on a homestead in New Mexico and learned how to make cheese. And then he realized that there was another thing that meant that even if somehow humans prevented the burning of fossil fuels overheating the earth, because of what he calls the aerosol dimming effect, the pollution would actually shields us from the worst heat of the sun. So even if we reduced pollution, we would be fried too. So he then realized that we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't, and decided that he couldn't be bothered to live on a homestead anymore, and now he just lives in a normal house and gives interviews and does podcasts and things like that. And he calls himself an educator. I mean, he's like an odd fellow, because he kind of, what was interesting about him for me was because he went through this period of like profound despair and grief and what he thought was the futility of trying to continue. And then he came out of the